Today's reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There ends today's reading.
Thank you, Dave. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for the gorgeous morning that we're experiencing, the green grass, the moisture, the blue sky, spring. And I just thank you for our families that are represented here. I thank you for the adults that we have, for the children that we have. And Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit right now to be with us. Amen. You may be seated. So I don't know about you guys, but when you were singing that song, Kumbaya, how many of you guys, it brought you back to kind of camp experiences and stuff like that? It was awesome, wasn't it? So after talking last week and sharing kind of some of my escapades with my cousins, Don Nordquist sent me a little fun kind of story that I wanted to read to you guys today, and it's entitled A Letter from Camp. Okay, A Letter from Camp. Dear Mom and Dad, we're having a great time here at Lake Typhoid. Scoutmaster Webb is making us all write to our parents in case you saw the flood on TV and worried. We are okay. Only one of our tents and two sleeping bags got washed away. And so as I was reading this, I just got this vision. One of the very first trips that I ever went on here at Charity, Pastor Bob had a fishing trip up to Canada, on the Rocky Mountain fishing trip, where he would take all these fourth through sixth graders up to Canada and do this fishing trip. And I remember one year he's like, Sam, you're in charge. And so, you know, I was just starting off as a youth pastor here, and we got up to Riding Mountain, and you know how, like, if there's a famine, you know, and there's no rain, all you have to do is say you're going to go camping, right? And the moment you open up your tent, there's a downpour, right? And I've decided to actually start selling this. You know, if there's no rain somewhere, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually go and set up a tent, and I know that the rain will come, because that's how it works, right? Well, I remember this particular trip. Like, it was a four-day trip, and it seriously rained solid for 2 days. And I kid you not, we had this massive tent with all the guys, and there was about 20 guys, and maybe even more. And I remember at one point waking up, because I was soaking wet, and Lucas Cahoon, he was sitting on these sleeping bags, and he was just like curled up on the sleeping bag, and there was seriously this stream of water running around him through the tent. Oh, so when I read this, it brought back great memories. Okay, so he goes on. Luckily, none of us got drowned because we were all up on the mountain looking for Chad when it happened. Oh, yes, please call Chad's mother and tell her he is okay. He can't write because of the cast. I got to ride in one of the search and rescue jeeps. It was neat. We never would have found him in the dark if it hadn't been for the lightning. Scoutmaster Webb got mad at Chad for going on a hike alone without telling anyone. Chad said that he did tell him, but it was during the fire, so he probably didn't hear him. Did you know that if you put gas in a fire, the gas can will blow up? The wet wood still didn't burn, but one of our tents did. Also some of our clothes. John is going to look weird until his hair grows back. We will be home on Saturday if Scoutmaster Webb gets the car fixed. It wasn't his fault about the wreck. The brakes worked okay when we left. Scoutmaster Webb said that a car that old, you have to expect something to break down. That's probably why he can't get insurance on it. We think it's a neat car, though. He doesn't care if we get it dirty, and if it's hot, sometimes he lets us ride on the tailgate. It gets pretty hot with 10 people in a car. He let us take turns riding in the trailer until the highway patrolman stopped and talked to us. Scoutmaster Webb is a neat guy. Don't worry, he's a good driver. In fact, he is teaching Terry how to drive. But he only lets him drive on the mountain roads where there isn't any traffic. All we ever see up there are logging trucks. This morning, all the guys were diving off the rocks and swimming out in the lake. Scoutmaster Webb wouldn't let me because I can't swim, and Chad was afraid he would sink because of his cast. So he let us take the canoes across the lake instead. It was great. You can still see some of the trees under the water from the flood. Scoutmaster Webb isn't crabby like some scoutmasters. He didn't even get mad about the life jackets. He has to spend a lot of time working on the car, so we are trying not to cause him any trouble. Guess what? We have all passed our first aid merit badges. When Dave drove in the lake and cut his arm, we got to see how a tourniquet works. Also, Wade and I threw up. Scoutmaster Webb said it probably was just food poisoning from the leftover chicken. He said they got sick that way with food they ate in prison. Oh, I have to go now. We are going into town to mail our letters and buy bullets. Don't worry about anything. We are fine. Love, Billy. P.S. How long has it been since I had a tetanus shot? As I was reading that, I just had all these flashbacks of great experiences over the years. Not with your kids, mind you, not with your kids. Anyways, that sounds like a crazy, crazy day. A couple days ago, I actually took my brother-in-law and my kids and my brothers up fishing up to Lake Sakakawea. So I took my camera. My wife and I, we do some photography. And so I brought my camera along. And I don't know if you ever had those days where you're like, hey, you know, this is a good, good day. And then very quickly, things turn around. And I kind of figured things were turning around a little bit because I know that I brought this camera. And then a little while later on that day, I got this email from some lady. And she said, Sam, my dad found your camera along the road. We looked at the pictures and we saw your art and we saw pictures of your kids. And so I would like to return your camera to you. And I have to say, this only happens in North Dakota, you know. Oh, look at this camera laying beside the road. Here, let's see who it is. Oh, it's Sam, you know. Anyways, so we got together, and I'll show you guys a picture as soon as I can bring it up here. But anyways, this is a picture of what my camera looked like at the end of the day. It was totally, totally destroyed. There wasn't a good thing about that camera anymore. But you know, sometimes we have those days, don't we? Where it's just like, oh man, this is one of those days. And what I think is really important to know is that whether it's one of those days or not, whether we're feeling good or not, there's some promises that we can hang on to. And so 2 Corinthians 2:5-17 is the verse that we're focusing on. We focused on it last week, and we're going to focus on it again this week. And it's going to be kind of the foundation point. But please go ahead and read this with me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And one of the things that we do at a staff each week is we try to go through the verses that we're going to be preaching on and talking about. And last week I touched on this, but Rob Pesky brought up a really interesting point. He said this is in the present tense. This is a present tense verse. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. I want you to turn to your neighbor really quick and say, you are a new creation. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor, whether you feel like it or not, you are a new creation. Because that's the truth of the matter. That's the truth of the matter. And when we start off with that point, it's really, really important. Because oftentimes, what we feel or what we think about ourselves or how we view ourselves is not in that way. And it's really interesting because when Paul uses that, when he's referring to the old has gone, what he's referring to is like this, these grave clothes, these things that they stink, they're rotten, they're awful, and yet they encompass us. And you know what's crazy is that not only do they encompass us, but we put them on. We actually put them on. And you know, I know that I say this a lot, but we do have three enemies. And I want you guys to be aware of this. So we have the world, which is the world system and the way that the world works. Then there's our flesh and our own desires, and we want it, and we want it now, and we want it no matter what. And then there's Satan. And so we have these three enemies. They lie. They tell us things. We believe things about ourselves. And, you know, it's so interesting how sin just so easily entangles us, isn't it? Like, it's just so interesting. I love what Mark Twain says. He makes a point that I think is really important. Actually, we'll get to that in just a second. But what I want you to do is I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to ask the person next to you, okay, really quick, I want you to ask them something that just really bugs them that other people do. Okay, take a moment and just talk to the person next to you and say, what really bugs you that other people do? I can see that this could go on for a very long time. So what are some things that people do? What are some of your pet peeves or things that people do that just really, really bug you? What was that? Just yell it out. Gossip. Don't throw away garbage. Be on their phone all the time. Disrespect. Yeah. How many of you guys agree with that, that they're on their phone way too often? Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Okay, anybody else? Negative attitude, okay? What else? People not going to speak of it. I'm so sorry. Okay. Okay, anything else? Texting while driving. What was that? Now, is that something that Lynn did, or? We won't tell. Yeah, you know, I have this thing where one of the things that I have realized about myself is if you are trying to get in touch with me, I am so sorry. I am just so sorry because I've decided that we live in a black hole where we live. And so I don't get cell phone reception there, at least not very good cell reception. And then people say, well, do you have a landline? And I'm like, yeah, we have a landline, but I'm never inside, you know? And so, so I just have this thing where one of my pet peeves is when I send a text or when I call somebody and they never return my call, right? And the reason really is because, like, all of a sudden I'm kind of like, do they not like me? Are they mad at me? You know? And that's instantly what I go to. They must be mad at me. Shoot. You know? And so the crazy thing is that what really kind of annoys me is often the thing that I do all the time, right? And that's one of the things that's crazy. Amen. I heard that amen a little bit too loudly there. What often really bugs us about others is often the thing that we do or the things that we do. Now, some of that, I mean, that's true, I think oftentimes it's not always true. But sometimes the very things that we do. And I heard somebody say gossip, and you know, isn't that annoying? Gossip is so annoying. Until somebody comes up to you and it's like, ooh, that's really interesting. Right? That is really interesting. And yet, can gossip get us in a lot of trouble? Can gossip do so much damage? And you know, I think about too, like lies. You know, oftentimes we're like, oh, that's just a little lie. That's not a big lie. And then we have to tell another lie to kind of make that lie right? And we kind of spin this web and stuff like that. And the sin easily entangles us. And I love what Mark Twain says. He says, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything, right? And it's so true. It's so true. And so we have this concept that we are a new creation in Christ. And you know what I need? I need some volunteers. Okay, I need 3 volunteers. And I knew you guys would volunteer. So I was so happy that you guys all came to church today. Okay, so you guys all come up here, okay? These guys are awesome. This is the Naslin trio, and they're incredible, okay? So now I brought up a couple different, let's see here. Who wants to be my first volunteer? Which one of you wants to be my first volunteer? Okay. That's so great. I just love kids, especially these Naslin kids. They're just the best. Okay, so you know what I'm going to do? Luke, you're kind of middle size, so I'm going to pick you, okay? Now, this may look like something that a grandma wore or something like that way back when, but we're going to compare this to Christ's righteousness, okay? So this is Christ's righteousness, and there's some stains there I see, but that's okay. This is just an illustration, okay? Everybody gets the point? This is Christ's righteousness, and when we trust in him as our Savior, okay, what happens is that he clothes us in his purity. Did you know that today, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, that you are clothed, in Christ's purity, in his righteousness, that when God looks at you, he sees purity, because that's what Jesus Christ is and was. But you know what? Just like sometimes how we feel, how we act, what we do is, in our perspective, we have stuff, okay? And I know that you guys are going to be professionals here, okay? So what happens is, you know, this little toilet paper right here, I mean, you can break that pretty easily, right? I looked for the extra strong stuff, but it's not very strong. And so, you know, you can break this pretty easily. And when we look at our life and we say, okay, you know, this can represent sin or this can represent lies that we believe or whatever. When you take one piece, it's not that much. But what I want you guys to do, and I've learned how this works really, really good, okay? So you stand right here, okay? And you come back here, and you stand right here. And what I want you guys to do is I want you to wrap Luke in this. And what happens the best is if you pass it to each other, okay? And pass it, like, using that hole right there, because otherwise you're going to break it, okay? You guys are doing a great job, by the way. Okay? And what I want you guys is, as I'm talking, I want you guys, and I think, Warren, what works best is if you just pass it to your sister. There you go. Yeah, and if you use this like this, you can actually just go around like that, okay? So just use that top, or actually, you know what? Maybe you guys are better at just taking a roll and just going around and around and around. You want to try that? There you go. Okay. There you go. Okay, now you guys just keep on going. And then just keep on going. Okay. So while those guys are keeping on going, I want to talk about some of the lies that we believe. Okay? So what happens is, in life, we believe many different lies. We act on many different lies because ultimately what we believe determines how we act. How we act determines how we treat others, right? And how we act and how we treat others determines what happens to us in life. And it's ultimately where someday we're judged for what that is. So one of the lies that we believe is this first one, that sin isn't that big of a deal. Okay? So we look at the lies, sin isn't that big of a deal. But you guys are doing a really, really good job. So I'm going to have you guys pause right there for just a moment, okay? So you guys can just pause, just stop right there. They're doing a good job, aren't they? Yeah, you guys are doing a great job. Okay, so pause right there for just a moment. Sin isn't that big of a deal, okay? And you know what? Here's how it really happens. We're just going through life and we're just saying, oh, you know what, that? I know it was a mistake. But it's really not that big of a deal. And then another one that we look at, I don't really need God. And we have this, like, independence where it's like, oh, yeah, when something's wrong, then we need him. But when things are going right, things are going good, right? My worth is determined by what I do. And we look at that, and that's another big lie that we often believe. that if I can perform enough, if I do enough good things, then hopefully, right? Then hopefully. Next one. If God allows this in my life, I can't trust him. And we all know what this is. This could actually be a blank. If God allows blank in my life, then I can't actually trust him. Right? And when I said what this is, how many of you guys thought of something that it's like, if he allows this in my life, I just can't trust him? If God made me and I feel ugly, what else can't I believe him about? If God made me and I feel ugly. And how many times, let me ask you this, in a marriage, how many of you guys always feel like you love your spouse? And I saw Shane's hand go up, and then he's, you know, he's like, Becky, look at me. Becky, look at me. You know what happens to liars? I'm not going to stand next to you for a while, Shane, and I would advise you guys to move away a little bit, you know. No, but if that actually happened, that would be pretty scary, wouldn't it? But no, how many times do we often feel like we love our spouse, or do we decide and make a decision? In other words, how often do our feelings follow what is actually true? Do they? If somebody doesn't return my text or my call, and I feel like they're mad at me, is that true? Most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, it's not. Okay? And then I can't be used by God. Now, you guys have done an incredible job, okay? And, you know, I would let you guys keep on going, but you guys did such a good job right off the bat. You want to keep on going, don't you? You basically want to just cover him head to toe, don't you?
And then bury me.
And then bury you? Yeah. That's what they really want to do. Luke's got it right, right? And that's not just a feeling, that's truth, you know? You guys did an incredible job. And you know what? I know that if I let you guys keep on going, you guys would wrap him again and again and again, and then you would bury him. And then we wouldn't see Luke again. And I like Luke, so he's a good guy. Now, Luke, do you think that having been wrapped as many times that you were, is it going to be a little bit harder to break free? He did that pretty simply, okay? That was not supposed to be part of the illustration, so you can just ignore that little part right there. He's a he-man. Let's give these guys a hand. Thanks, you guys, for coming up. And look, they even clean up after themselves. But I know what you're really going to do with that toilet paper there, Warren. So here's the deal. The lies that we believe, the things that we do, our sin that so easily, and in Hebrews it talks about our sin that so easily entangles us. And yet the truth is that we are a new creation in Christ. The truth is that we are created in its present tense. In other words, Jesus saves us, and then he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And he says, work through this. And I'm going to go through this next portion really quickly, but here's some Bible verses that just show us what God says about this. And this is why God's word is so important. Sin isn't that big of a deal. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. I don't really need God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And the kind of that showing us that we can't have that independence. My worth is determined by what I do. And I just love this. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only son. And how many of you guys have kids where your kid did not have to do a single thing to deserve your love, did they? Did your child have to do a single thing to deserve your love? And yet did you love them? And that's how God looks at us. He says, you know what? I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and there's nothing you can do. There's nothing more you can do to deserve my love, because it's there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And next one. God allows this in my life. I can't trust him. And you know what's really crazy is that as I've experienced stuff in my life, as I've experienced hard stuff, what I've learned is that it's okay to be angry at God. It's okay to feel whatever you feel in those moments. But ultimately, there is a reason. There is a purpose behind it. There is something that God is doing. And I just love this verse in Revelations where it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. There shall be no more mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And you know what? There is coming a day when we will be with Jesus, and it will be for millions and millions of years, but it won't count because we won't even go as time goes. But it'll be for millions and millions of years, and we'll look back, and we'll be able to say, you know what? Those situations, that sadness, that mourning, that pain, that circumstance that brought me so much pain, that Satan intended for evil, that others intended for evil, God intended for good. And God's able to take every single thing, and he will wipe away every single tear. And there will be no more sadness, no more pain. Amen? Amen. Amen. If God allows this in my life, if God made me and I feel ugly, what else can't I believe him about? And this is just so amazing because when you look at this verse, for we are his workmanship. And that workmanship, Randy talked about it a couple weeks ago. But it's this idea of, for we are his masterpiece. And the crazy thing is, do you believe it today? And as I look at you, there's some heads that are nodding yes. And there's some heads that are nodding no. Because, you know, if we were to be really honest, I bet you most of the time we would say, if I'm his masterpiece, why? But he says, you are his masterpiece. You are amazing. And do we really believe it? Because if we believe it, then we can trust that about ourselves, and we can treat ourselves with grace. And you know, when we treat ourselves with grace, do you know what we're able to do to other people? When we're able to say, you know what, today, I'm probably going to make some mistakes. But that's okay, because I have a God who loves me and cares about me and couldn't love me anymore. I'm going to make some mistakes, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask forgiveness for those. I'm going to work through those. I'm going to get better. And you know, when you have that mindset, you know what you're able to do to other people? You're able to say, you know what, they're working through stuff. They're not perfect, but things will get better. And I can't be used by God. And I think that this is one thing that I think every single person who really says, Jesus, I trust in you. I want to follow you. I think every single person who says that, immediately on the heels of that, Satan is right there. And the Bible calls Satan this condemner. But God says, you know what? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so what Satan says is, Satan says, you can't be used by God. You make so many mistakes. You make such dumb decisions. You're so imperfect. You mess up all the time. And he'll push those buttons. He'll say, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, and look at this. And I can promise you that today, like, sometimes I'm like, why am I even getting up and preaching? Why am I even getting up and talking to these people? Because I look at my life, and it's like, sitting there, I said, you're a mess. You make so many mistakes. But here's the key, and I love this portion. Here's the key. And this is 2 Corinthians 5:17. All this is from God. Actually, I think it's 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through who? And gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in who? Not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And see, here's the real deal. We can look at ourselves and we can see a massive mess. Or like Peter, who got out of the boat, and when Jesus said, come to me, as he was walking on water, Peter got out of the boat, and when his focus was on Jesus, he was what? He was walking on water. And then as he looked around him and he saw the waves and the wind and the problems, what happened? if you look at yourself, if you look at your problems, and you say, if you believe Satan's lies about yourself, you know what you're going to do? You're going to sink. I can promise you that if you believe Satan's lies, just like Luke that was wrapped up, eventually those lies, they wrap around you so much that even what seems like it can be broken so simply becomes impossible to break. But when your focus is on who? Christ. You can walk on water. That's the message of reconciliation. That because of Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. Turn to your neighbor one more time and say, you are a new creation. Now I ask him, do you believe it? And finally, verse number 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And here's what I want you to know today. You know what? God never, ever wastes our mistakes. God never wastes our suffering. Because you know what? He can use that. He can use that to point us to the one who reconciled us. He can use that to point people to the one who ultimately saves. He can use our mistakes. He can use our suffering. And he can say, you know what? This is what really makes a difference. This is the person who you need to come to. You know, it's really amazing because as we were talking about this at staff, Randy made this comment. He said, you know, sometimes we make it so much harder than it actually is. And I thought about that. And this week, Sarah and I were working in our garden, and all of a sudden we just saw this pickup drive around our house, and then it left. And I was like, I wonder who that is. And we walked up to the door of our house, and here somebody had found this cowboy hat made out of moss and this boot made out of moss. And they had planted some flowers in there, and they just left it at our doorstep. And I was just so amazed because did that make our day? It totally made our day. How many of you guys have ever had somebody just say a random nice thing to you or something, or give you a smile or give you a hug, and it made your day? Sometimes we make reconciliation, the message of reconciliation, too hard, when really it's about the smiles that we give. It's about the kind words that we say. It's about encouraging others and caring for others. And sometimes simply saying a prayer. Amen? Please rise for the benediction. May the Lord bless you, may he keep you, may his face shine upon you, and may you experience the reconciliation that comes from Jesus Christ. He is so good. Amen? Amen. Go in peace. God bless you.